I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me for 2 hours a day here from 9 to 11 o'clock. You've got your independent news source. Everybody seems to be searching for some place where you can get independent news. Well, here you go. You got one here. This is a safe little space, an island for independent thought here from 9 to 11 o'clock. Thanks for joining me today. It's Wednesday. So next hour, I will be taking a diversion into a health topic, as I do every week, with Hump Day Health, natural health news you can use, where we try to empower people, realizing that a lot of your health outcomes are in your own hands on a daily basis. At a time where Americans have been cowering in fear of COVID-19 and every other disease that comes down the pike, this is one little outpost out there that says, hey, you've got some power over this thing, and you don't have to rely on a mayor or a health authority to shepherd you through this thing. You can do it yourself. I've got some great tips today. One really, really surprising one on how to avoid death. And I think this is kind of our goal, is it not? It seems like we've got a real obsession with it here in this country. I mean, I think most people have an obsession with avoiding death on pretty much a daily basis. Well, next hour, I'll give you some surprising ways, and let me tell you, it has nothing to do with COVID. I'll show you how to you can actually avoid death, and just wait till you hear a medical professional explain to you why you do not want to be hospitalized in July. This was a bit of a drop my jaw moment, but we'll talk about why you don't want to be hospitalized in July. And I'm not talking about, this has nothing to do with COVID. And I'm not talking about this July. I'm not talking about this month. I mean, any month, I mean, any year, you do not want to be admitted to the hospital in July. We'll talk about that next hour. Today is day two of no national mainstream news in the Mike Madison Autonomous Zone here. We didn't outlaw it or anything, so we don't need the government to tell us what to do. Just made a personal decision, and I got to tell you, I go through a little bit of withdrawals to not get the headlines, but boy, I couldn't take it anymore. I cannot take a 30-minute nightly news broadcast, and I do not obsess with cable news all day. I couldn't take a 30-minute nightly news broadcast with 18 and a half minutes of it of nothing but hysteria about COVID, and then the other 12 about how Trump is terrible at everything he touches, wrong about everything. I can't take it. I got my problems with Donald Trump, but I mean, give us all a break. So I can't do it. But to replace mainstream television news, I have gone to mostly digital news. And, of course, WYAB. You just stick with us. You'll hear what's going on in the world. The important stuff. If you listen to this show, you're going to get the behind-the-scenes stuff. The things you really should be paying attention to, which we will get to in just a minute. But I'm getting most of my news digitally on the internet and WYAB. And I spent some time looking for something yesterday that I could not find, curiously. And so I'm asking for listener help here. You can email me, MikeMadison@WYAB.com, MikeMadison@WYAB.com. And maybe you can help me find something I could not find. Has anybody seen a picture of Ghislaine Maxwell since she's been arrested? This is Jeffrey Epstein's pimp that was trafficking young underage girls as young as 12 years old. Actually, I think there were a couple of kids that were 8 that were given as birthday presents for one of these elite sickos. But has anybody seen a picture of Ghislaine? A mugshot? A picture of the raid on the New Hampshire town? I remember when Roger Stone was arrested. We had footage of the early morning raid on Roger Stone's house when they decided, instead of just giving him a call and going, hey, can you be down at the courthouse at 10 o'clock? they decided to raid his house SWAT style at about 5:30 in the morning. But it is interesting. I have not seen a single, no pictures of Ghislaine moving from one of the prison vans into the court, into the jail. She has appeared, I know, at least in the court in New Hampshire. There was no bystander there with a cell phone camera on it. How many things in this society do we not get pictures of? Pictures are everywhere. What would a picture of Ghislaine Maxwell? I see nothing online, and I search for Ghislaine Maxwell arrested, images. Ghislaine Maxwell mugshot, images. We've seen mugshots of Jeffrey Epstein. We've seen mugshots of Harvey Weinstein when he was arrested. We saw that incredible arrest mugshot of Gary Busey. If you haven't seen that, I mean, that's like 25 years old maybe, but a worst mugshot ever. I have not seen a single picture of a detained Ghislaine Maxwell. If you go to any stories, you will see there was actually, I thought I found a picture yesterday. She had a stressed look on her face. It was kind of in motion picture, you know, instead of all of the staged things and all her hoity-toity socialite events. And so I saw this picture. I went, ah, okay, there we go. And then I look under the caption. It was something from like 1991. She's calling a cab or something. I have not seen one picture of a Ghislaine Maxwell with mussed up hair and a disappointed look on her face. Every picture that I've seen, she's still smiling and free as a bird. Now, I'm not saying she hasn't actually been arrested, but I do find it curious in this day and age of rapid viral videos, viral photos. I mean, if somebody kicks somebody else in the butt somewhere and it's politically incorrect, it circles the globe within hours and then makes the evening news. Evening news, no pictures of Ghislaine Maxwell. There's not a reporter at any of the major news networks that went to New Hampshire and said, we need a copy of that mugshot. Hell, you can go to the corner grocery store or to the gas station now and get whole magazines of people's mugshots. Obviously, people have an interest in these things, and they are apparently public record, yet there is nothing that I have seen about Ghislaine Maxwell since she has been arrested. I did see that Attorney General William Barr, Jeffrey Epstein's pimp, left Merrimack County House of Corrections in New Hampshire during a top security operation in the early hours of Monday. That move came after U.S. Attorney General William Barr reportedly called prosecutors to warn them, quote, no harm must come to her. Yeah, we've all got a lot of faith in that. I think that, and I am hoping that they put a little creativity in the Ghislaine Maxwell death. I mean, they've gotten lazy. I talk about false flags. You know, they keep running some of the same operations to get us involved in wars or to get the American people all fired up about Iran or Venezuela. They keep using the same things. It's lazy, and it's insulting to our intelligence, although the vast majority of people fall for these things. But I hope that they don't do just another cell suicide. I mean, come on, we're not that dumb, I don't think, although nobody's paid a price for the Jeffrey Epstein suicide, air quotes here in the studio around suicide. I would imagine they've transferred her from Merrimack County, New Hampshire, to New York, right into COVID Central in the jail system there, as I understand, so that one seems convenient. How long before we see the headlines, Ghislaine Maxwell hospitalized with COVID, Ghislaine Maxwell tests positive, oh, she's not doing well, she's on a ventilator, she's gone. It seems to fit two narratives that they can tie up and solve one big problem. Like two birds with one stone, two narratives, one death. They'll be able to do it. So we'll see exactly what this is. Now, there's also supposition out there, is have they arrested a Ghislaine Maxwell body double? I don't know. Why don't I know? Because there are no pictures of her being detained. You remember when Bernie Ebers from WorldCom was arrested? We saw him perp walked, cuffs behind his back, downtown New York, heading into courthouses, being arrested. Ghislaine Maxwell, as I say, maybe I'm missing it. I'm not watching network news, but I got to tell you, I've been to news sites. I've been to sites that are reporting breathlessly on Ghislaine Maxwell that she's on suicide watch. Very serious stuff. And I have yet to see an image. So, I'm putting the call out. If you have got an image of Ghislaine Maxwell since she has been arrested, please forward to Mike Madison at WYAB.com. I'll be right back.
You know that friend that's eating healthy, or as they put it, eating clean? They're overly concerned with eating habits, especially yours. They cite the latest health studies, the ones that change weekly. Eggs are good? No, bad. No, wait, eggs are good. Instead, maybe you should listen to what your own body is saying about your health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Now I'm calling all citizens from all over the world. This is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees. So will you catch me now? I'm falling.
Well, even though we have not, to my knowledge, been able to get a look at Ghislaine Maxwell since she's been arrested, we did get a peek behind the curtain on something else. Yesterday, day before yesterday, that was certainly up my alley on the content of this show. I got to tell you, I try to give the American public, particularly the American taxpayer, the credit that they deserve. Yeah, we don't get thanked near enough. We get threatened. We get stolen from. But we don't really get the credit. There's never a big thank you for the middle-class taxpayer out there in society. The 99.9% of taxpayers who are stripped of their wealth each and every year so that 537 guys and gals up in Washington, D.C. can decide how to divvy up the goods. But nobody ever really bothers to thank us, and I always try to remedy this. So from the billionaires, the country clubs, the private equity groups, the investment advisors, and other financial elites, I just want to say to you, the American taxpayer, thank you. To all of you little people out there that provided them with the hundreds of millions of dollars ripped out of your paychecks and out of your families, these people could not afford to maintain their Hamptons estates without you. And if they're not going to thank you for it, I will. Doesn't that make you feel better? I mean, at least you can feel appreciated. Several weeks ago, Steven Mnuchin, our current Treasury Secretary, the former Goldman Sachs banker, really didn't want to release the details of the Paycheck Protection Program. He was very concerned about, air quotes here in the studio, privacy. Now, I don't know if he's gotten the memo, but the government spies on everything that we do. Steven Mnuchin's sudden desire for privacy for American citizens seems kind of novel in a day and age where they tell us, and right now they're fighting in courts to make sure that every bit of technology has a back door built into it so the government can always access it. The last shred of privacy we have in terms of encryption, your Attorney General, William Barr, is in court every week appearing at hearings to make sure that we are stripped of the right to even encrypt messages between each other, including all you cryptocurrency people, your anonymity for having a currency, a place to put wealth outside of the system. They're trying to make sure they can strip you of that, too. They want to make sure where every nickel and dime is. But Steven Mnuchin was very concerned about privacy, and I think we're starting to understand why. why he did not want to release the names on the Paycheck Protection Program. Now, I will say before I start in this, I saw a story last night. I have watched some local news. I've cut off network mainstream news. Can't take that. Local news is abhorrent itself, but since I don't get a local paper and there aren't as, you know, I don't do a whole lot of internet searching for local news, I want to hear exactly what's going on around me for my own personal life. I saw last night that Tate Reeves is under some fire because one of his, you know, a firm that his wife works for got some money and an air conditioning company he has a business. Look, these are small businesses. As much as I despise politicians, you can't carve them out. You can't carve out the governor of Mississippi who had nothing to do with what these jackasses in Washington, D.C. did to roll out a giant government socialist program. You can't blame Tate Reeves if he got a small business that was hurt by COVID or glanced by COVID for taking money that Washington's throwing out. So when it's small businesses, and look, I've told you before, if you got the $1,200 check, I hope you enjoyed it. It was your money in the first place. You're just getting a little bit of it back. They pick your pockets all the time. But when it comes to the financial elites, I think we know why Steven Mnuchin, the former Goldman Sachs banker, currently our Treasury Secretary, you know, he's in charge of the country's money. It's usually either Citibank or Goldman Sachs. This is a Goldman Sachs time. Republicans are Goldman Sachs, Democrats are Citigroup. So let's go through some of the people who lined up to get this. This is on the American Conservative. As millions of Americans on Main Street are struggling due to the effects of COVID-19 and its related small business closures, the swamp in D.C. is funneling PPP funds to billionaires, country clubs, lobbyists, political allies, Wall Street, and big business. Let's get down into some of the details here because, again, they're not going to do it, apparently. They're not going to thank you. I want to make sure that you're appreciated. It's going to give you a warm, you know, sometimes we just want a little bit of recognition, right? We don't mind having our wealth confiscated from us. We don't mind giving away a third of our income every year to this monstrous, inefficient, wasteful, fraud, abuse government. But we just want you to say thanks. So I'm here to do that because it probably gnaws at a lot of Americans when you hear of this money being doled out. And nobody bothers to thank you. A closer look reveals that nearly 600 asset management companies and private equity firms were approved for money from the PPP, according to government data. This is despite a provision outlined by the SBA in April that ruled out investment firms were eligible. They were claimed ineligible if they, quote, engaged in investment speculation. That's just a silly rule. Wall Street wouldn't get around that. Not only was Wall Street well paid, but so were the elite law firms of those that received funding. All of those that received funding grossed more than $100 million in revenue in 2019. In fact, 45 of the top law firms across the United States received at least $210 million in PPP loans. Goes into members of Congress that have benefited from PPP loans. And, of course, you know, I'll throw some red meat out there for conservative radio because we'll focus on this. A firm partially owned by Paul Pelosi, the husband of Speaker Nancy Pelosi, received funding, too. Now, I got to tell you, Paul Pelosi's been feeding at the government trough for forever. So, I mean, that's almost the least impressive headline of this. You want to talk about a family that went to D.C. and made their bones financially there? That's the Pelosi's. They've been on the take for decades. Have amassed a wealth, I believe, of over $100 million, but he got in there. Allies to President Trump also got their share, according to the SBA report, including a law firm run by one of Trump's key defenders in the Russia probe, a Kushner family real estate project, and conservative media organizations, The Daily Caller and Newsmax. Now, look, I got to tell you, I have some difficulty with this topic. The government forced people to close down. When people close down, advertisers stop advertising. It probably hurt Newsmax and Daily Caller. Those aren't as much my... You know, when the government forces you to close down. But investment advisors? Oh, here's a few other ones here. Oh, $150 million in funding to Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood thanks you. Remember that when you see the withholding on your check this Friday. Another unlikely recipient of money intended to save small businesses across America? The Church of Scientology. Three Church of Scientology locations in New York, Washington, D.C., and Florida were cleared to receive loans between $150,000 and $350,000 each. This, despite the Church of Scientology being worth more than $1.2 billion. The Church of Scientology and what's their God? Morgue or something? Not really sure. Not trying to denigrate anybody, but they've got a kind of a weird belief system there. I think it involves some aliens. I don't know if any of this money actually went off planet, but if it did, they thank you as well. Foreign firms were also not barred from receiving PPP from American taxpayers during the crisis. Korea Air, South Korea's largest airline, received $5 to $10 million in funding. South Korea Air says, "A thank you." Kanye West, a billionaire rapper and fashion designer, received between $2 to $5 million in funds for his shoe and fashion company that is valued at over $3 billion. Similarly, other high-end fashion designers received taxpayer funds in the millions, including Vera Wang, Oscar de la Renta, and Hickey Freeman. So from the Hollywood and the fashion elites, I say to you, the average American, the middle-class taxpayer out there, they thank you. There is no way they could jet-set around this planet without your help, and they will think of you next time they are flying high above the Alps to their Swiss vacation. There's more of these. I need to switch stories to get into some of these. Some of the investment advisors, here's the funny thing. If you're an investment advisor worth your salt, you probably also were able to have the foresight to short the stock market when COVID launched, and you made massive amounts of money. Now, for the average American taxpayer, you didn't short the market, did you? No. They told you, hang on. It's going to be great. It's just a small dip. No problems to see here. Now, it has bounced back. I will say it has bounced back, and I'm sure it'll never go down again. But for these investment advisors, there's certainly a possibility of some real profit on the backs of tragedy anyway. That's the beautiful thing about the stock market. You can make money when it goes up and down, but they convince the chattel out there, the everyday American out there, that you just need to keep your money invested in there. Ride out take the hits when it goes down. Wall Street, well, they make money when it goes up. They make money when it goes down. They make money whichever direction it goes. Anyway, we're going to get to some more of this. I've called this and titled this since the day it came out, the Reverse Robin Hood Rescue Plan. This money is all of what's included just in the Paycheck Protection Program. It does not include the trillions and trillions of dollars. I've been trying to keep a running tally, but it's going so fast, it's really hard to keep up with. I believe it's somewhere between $6 and $7 trillion that has gone to Wall Street behind the scenes. You know, while we're out in the streets setting stuff on fire and screaming at each other, while they stoke the racial division in this, the division between mask wearers and non-mask wearers, where we get into fights at the grocery store because you didn't properly social distance. While that was going on, somewhere in the neighborhood of $6 to $7 trillion has been flowing out to Wall Street. And so let me say on behalf of Wall Street, too, since you and your future earnings are the collateral for those trillions of dollars that flow to them, they say thank you. Thank you so much. And as I say, I think we're just to the point where if we could just get a tiny bit of recognition, just a tiny bit of appreciation, then we probably don't have a problem with the hundreds of billions of dollars going to the financial elites among us. Real quick, I'll take a call. Caller, are you with me? Hello? All right. I got to take a quick break. I'll come right back. Caller, if I disconnected you somehow, you can call back. We'll be back in just a few minutes. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Just giving you a big thank you from the financial elites for your participation in their profits.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com.
right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I am doing the job that nobody else will do. The average taxpayer has been funding some high-flying dreams of some of the financial elites in this country, really, for decades. You've really been on the hook for a lot over the last 12 years. This is just kind of your latest gift. And nobody else will thank you for it. I don't hear Wall Street, you know, you would think that maybe Wall Street would come out, you know, the stock exchange building, the Chicago Board of Exchange. You would think that maybe kind of like with the way that citizens came out and started clapping for the healthcare workers, you know, to thank them for all their work. You would think that maybe Wall Street would come out onto the sidewalks in New York all together and just clap for the American taxpayer. I mean, we've given them about $7 trillion, somewhere in the $6 to $7 trillion over the last few months. That doesn't include the $17 trillion or so. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I'm not being totally accurate with these numbers, but I'm not far off. Over the last 12 years, it's just been trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars of bailout. Starting last September, long before COVID, the Federal Reserve was printing up money every single night to inject it into Wall Street banks overnight, so they didn't run into any problems. Apparently, they had maybe made some miscalculations or mismanaged their business a tiny bit, and they were having liquidity problems. Now, what happens if you're a small business owner and you have liquidity problems for a prolonged period of time? You know what happens? You go under. You know what happens to Wall Street? They make one phone call. I don't even know if they need to make the phone call. The Fed is on ready. It's like having a money butler waiting on you if you're Goldman Sachs or any of the financial elites. They're on call, ready to ride to the rescue with taxpayer dollars. And I'll be honest with you, I'm thanking all of the taxpayers right now for your generosity. I'm going to go into some more of the recipients of some of this money. But it's probably not entirely accurate. Really, the money that they steal from the American people every single year, they've already spent that. This is really new debt. I should be thanking the fetuses out there. So if you're an expectant mom, if you wouldn't mind, if you take the headphones or just get your tummy close to a speaker so we can thank those yet unborn who will be saddled with this endless debt so that our financial elites and the system they've created, the monstrosity they've created, can soldier on so that bonuses can be made. Billionaires have got kids on Christmas too. We are watching what is essentially the greatest theft, the greatest transfer of wealth since the great financial crisis, and before that to a degree, but in the last 12 years, it's the greatest transfer of wealth from the bottom to the top ever. No, you didn't just tune into some radical left-wing show. It is well known within conservative circles and certainly in my circles of libertarians that what we are watching is not free market. It's not capitalism. J.P. Morgan is not standing right now because of their outstanding business practices. They're standing because we bailed them out. They take endless risks, and they are rewarded for those risks. And they have a safety net underneath them that no one else has. That's not capitalism. I'm for capitalism, free markets. That's not what we're seeing. But really, it is to the fetuses out there and the other unborn children generations down the line that will end up toting the bill for all of this stuff that's being done right now. We don't care. Well, we care that NASCAR's ratings are down, or maybe they're up. I heard the news dispute Trump's tweet about NASCAR ratings. Apparently, that's a big issue. But the wholesale bankruptcy and theft from ourselves and future generations goes by with nary a whimper, but I wanted to be here to thank everybody for your participation. There's more in this list. Francis Ford Coppola. And look, I got to tell you, I'm conflicted about some of this stuff. You've got an authoritarian government at the local, state, and federal level that has shut people down against their will, has criminalized commerce in this country. And then you open up the doors and say, hey, come get this money. I don't really blame people for doing it. Some of the hypocrisy is a little tough to stomach, I got to tell you. I mean, you know, I would imagine Coppola's wineries were hurt. And I would also assume that Francis Ford Coppola pays a lot in taxes, so he's just getting some of his money back. It's just the sheer stupidity of the program across the spectrum anyway. Here is a really disappointing one. I mean, this is just flat out disappointing. Citizens Against Government Waste. You know, they put out their their congressional pig book every year? Citizens Against Government Waste, a conservative Washington, D.C. oversight group founded to help President Reagan cut pork, publishes the annual congressional pig book, yet they took up to $350,000 despite listing $4.2 million in assets on their recent IRS 990. It gets worse. I'm about to gore some of my own just to show you the objective nature of this. I don't care if the corruption is even on my side. CAGW, the government waste people, said COVID-19 had a significant impact on our funding sources and threatened our ability to provide continued employment to our staff. What's interesting to me is we're talking right now about the Paycheck Protection Program, yet even though these hundreds of billions of dollars went out, we somehow still ended up with 31.5 million people on unemployment claims right now. And I believe that spiked at somewhere, you know, initial jobless claims were over $40 million. I think approaching 50 million people one time. I think I said dollars. I meant people. We threw all of this money, all the kitchen sink at this thing, and still we've got 31.5 million people on unemployment benefits right now. It kind of feels to me like maybe some people didn't actually keep their staffs working. Media Matters for America, a Soros-funded progressive group, had $5.3 million in assets in their latest available IRS 990 and received up to $2 million in PPP lending. Now, some of these figures are in ranges because the government didn't really want us to know what it is. Have you ever noticed that about Congress critters? You can go look up, find out, you know, what's the net worth of X, Y, or Z congressman or senator. They'll say it's somewhere between $140 and $2.6 million. You know, there's this huge range. For some reason, us peons can't know what they're actually worth. It would be one thing if it was like, you know, $800,000 to a million to 1.5, you know, somewhere in there. But these ranges are just huge, so you get to play with your imagination. And we all assume, well, I'm sure they're at the higher end of that, but they get to hide in this big range. And that's what they did with the Paycheck Protection Program. They just gave us the ranges of money that went out. Here's one to gore my own people, R Street. R Street Institute, a self-described conservative and libertarian free market group based in Washington, D.C. and dedicated to limiting government, took between $1 million and $2 million. Come on, guys. Again, I'm conflicted like with any of the rest of them. It's you know, the government's just offering this money up. I don't think we should expect human nature to turn it down. I somehow have just zigzagged my way through all of the money flowing out of Washington, D.C., and barely a drop of it's hit me. I found it almost a failure in my life that I was not able to get mine while I could. Hypocritical, yes. But when the government forces the shutdown, if this had just been your rank and file, you know, it's more egregious. What happened in 2008, 2009, and we actually had conservatives and liberals take to the streets when they noticed this one, the original bailouts. These banks weren't forced to close their doors in 2008. No, they were exposed as being essentially gambling operations, and their bets went bad on them. And yet they came to the taxpayer and said, hey, buddy, need a little help here. And people were not down with it. I think 80% of people were against the government bailouts back in 2008. Yet they happened. And they kept happening. And they've been happening just about each and every day. QE1, QE2, Operation Twist, QE3, QE4. And now we have QE Infinity. And the vast majority of people who hear me say QE, you have no idea what I'm talking about. And that's okay. It's bailout money. It is the Federal Reserve printing up money that you and I and our children and our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren will all be on the hook of. Our income, the amount of productivity we have during our lifetime is the collateral for that. Right? What do you think happens when we go to another country or somebody and we say, hey, we need to borrow $1 billion to make our government work? That government or whoever loans us the money goes, yeah, well, they can always strip it out of, you know, next year's income out of their citizens. They apparently have the power to do that. So we think we'll get paid back because they'll just take more money from their citizens. You are the collateral for these things. In San Francisco, Apple co-founder Steve Wozniak co-founded the Electronic Frontier Foundation, and they received between $1 and $2 million, even though they have assets of $40.3 million on their latest IRS 990. And it goes on and on. As I said, from day one, I told you this is the reverse Robin Hood rescue plan. Means the elites among us have been receiving trillions and trillions of dollars. American people got $1,200. Some businesses were helped by a Paycheck Protection Program. And if they were tax-paying businesses that have been stripped of their wealth for years and years and could get some of that back to get them through tough times, the thing is, I wish we would think a little bit bigger. I wish we would look at all of the people who got very desperate, and I don't know if you really recall this. News travels so fast, it's hard to remember what happened 8 or 12 weeks ago. But when COVID first hit, it was like they shut down on a Monday, and on a Tuesday, there were 2 miles of food lines. One day. It was certainly within a week. We were seeing these catastrophic desperation of the American people. And I wish we could use a couple of the brain cells that would just knock together and go, you know, it sure would be nice if they weren't stripping us of our wealth every single year. Not only through income taxes, but also inflation. You know, the way the cost of living has gone up, most people just think it's kind of inevitable, right? We're all just used to it now. Costs go up every year. Hamburger gets a little more expensive every year. Houses get a little bit more expensive every year. Cars get a little more expensive every year. It's not supposed to, it doesn't have to be that way. That's your Federal Reserve printing up a bunch of money and actually crushing the purchasing power of the dollars that you do have. If you earn $50,000 one year, it doesn't buy as much as $50,000 the next year, does it? And that's inflation that's actually created by our government, created by the Federal Reserve. If we ever just stopped and thought for just a minute, just a thought experiment, we're obviously not going to do crap about it, but if we just thought for a second, the government creates inflation. They strip a third of our wealth from each one of us every year through all their different tax schemes and regulations and fines and user fees and gas taxes. I mean, just everything. Strip about a third of it. Wouldn't it be nice if they kept their hands out of our wallets and we actually had savings to make it through a couple of months of a ridiculous COVID shutdown? Wouldn't that be nice if we actually had our own safety net and we didn't have to go begging to Uncle Sam to get a little bit of our money back? And then, these politicians come out and pat themselves on the back. They all crowd into the photo shot. They want you to see them and give them credit for giving you a little bit of your money back. And when I say a little bit, I mean a little bit. Average American taxpayer pays $9,000 a year in federal income taxes. They gave you back $1,200 and they expect you to pat them on the back for it.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
All right, only got a few minutes left in this hour. We're going to tacked over to natural health news you can use. The Hump Day Health segment next hour. I don't really know where else to go with this. You know, I've talked before about, you know, changing your government is kind of like pushing over a soft drink machine. You can't just walk up, just shove it over. You know what you got to do? You kind of tip it one way, and then it rocks back a little bit. Then you use the momentum of that to push it, and it goes a little bit further. You know what I mean? It's just we're not even pushing on it. We're trying to just paint it a different color. I want that soft drink machine to be red. I want it to be blue. That's because you're a racist. No, you're a sexist. No, you're a Nazi. I mean, I don't know. I get these glimmers of hope. You know, the Tea Party was a hopeful moment for me because people were paying attention to the really big issues that are a problem for this country. They saw the criminality and corruption at the very top, and they called people to account. Most of the Tea Partiers, even that were elected under the Tea Party, they've been absorbed into the blob, and we don't care. I think I still see Mike Pompeo referred to as a Tea Party guy. You know, there were definitely some con men. It's interesting when you watch a lot of the headlines now that maybe some members of Congress and the Senate are distancing themselves from Trump. Huh, I wonder what radio show host was telling you for a while. They don't care about Donald Trump. They ride his coattails as long as he's popular, and they'll ditch him when he's done. And a lot of people have problems with me being a libertarian. They disagree. Oh, that's crazy. That won't work. And all these kinds of things. I don't know what you people are clinging to anymore, to be honest with you. I really don't. Yeah, I mean, you might disagree with something. I think the war on drugs is a disaster. I know a lot of people disagree with that. I could have a calm, rational discussion with you and show you that the greatest harms to our society at this point are from the war on drugs, not even drugs themselves. I'm going to give you some shocking statistics, not on the drug war, but other statistics next hour that'll kind of help bolster that point, just coincidentally. But you may not always agree with what libertarians do, but we do realize one thing. A massive centralized federal government doesn't work. At least you would have the opportunity that if Mississippi went nutso leftist, you could maybe move to Alabama and get some kind of a different life. Fighting between Republicans and Democrats right now has essentially been almost like it's like in a movie, people fighting for control of a gun. It's that important. It's like life or death every single time, isn't it? Oh, I can't. I know what we'll hear this year. We hear it every election cycle. I don't know how many election cycles I voted in, and I didn't even notice this happening to me, but they always say this is the most important election of our lifetime. Both parties go out to their people and they say that. They got to get you all charged up. Then you vote as hard as you can. I mean, I don't know what people are going to do. You're going to go push Republican. You're going to push that button harder this time. Really bear down on that touch screen. That'll make it work this time. And then nothing changes. And then 2 years later, 4 years later, they tell you this is the most important election of our life. And they are. I mean, I'm not saying it's not. Because things keep getting worse. Right? The government keeps getting more intrusive. So we're more scared. I don't care if you're on the right or the left. You're more scared of the other side getting control of the government because it affects your life more and more and more every election cycle. Libertarians don't do that. We believe you go in and you neuter Washington, D.C. Every federal election wouldn't be life or death. You'd be a lot more interested in who ran your local communities, and that's where the power should reside. But this two-party game and the theft that's going on right now, jeez Louise.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me. It's Wednesday. Change topics a little bit on Wednesdays from 10 to 11 o'clock every week and move into some empowering talk. Today's going to be a little bit different, but nonetheless, I am constantly challenging people to take control of their own health and let you know that so many of your health outcomes are in your own hands if you will actually take action on it. In this segment we call Hump Day Health, natural health news you can use. I start off every show by explaining to you I am not a doctor, a scientist, a biologist, a chemist, an infectious disease specialist. I'm not a therapist. I'm not a surgeon. I'm not a nurse. I'm not a physical therapist. I'm nothing. I've got no qualifications to advise you on your health and your situation. I just bring up some topics that I hope people will take and research on their own and run with them and finally break free of the idea that we're all helpless in the fates of our health and have no say in what happens to us. I can't believe we are 4 months into COVID stuff, and I haven't heard one health authority say, hey, if you got to move about society, this is a good time to make sure you're getting some good nutrition, vitamin D, some good quality sleep. All these things matter to your immune system. Not a peep. Not from a single one of them. I'm supposed to respect that. Yeah, we get it. Wash your hands. We heard it. We got it. Wash your hands. Okay, there's one. But apparently that doesn't work as they're still locking down society. You know, I'm looking out the picture window onto picturesque Highway 49 in Flora, Mississippi right now, and it's raining. And I am for the life of me figuring out, why has the government not jumped into action and issued a park-in-place order? Do people not realize how much more dangerous it is to drive on slick streets? Do you know you are risking not only your own life, but the lives of those around you if you enter a vehicle and go from one place to another while experiencing inclement weather? Don't get me started on snow. Immediately, I believe that all roadways should be shut down with a park-in-place order until it is all clear. Do you know what happens on a really rainy day with really bad weather? A lot of accidents. That could overwhelm our medical system. We can't have that. Strangely enough, though, for decades of car ownership, Americans have been able to take in information, which is roads get slick. You need to go a little slower. You need to add a little bit of distance between you and the cars ahead of you, a little bit more. You need to pay a little bit more attention. Not a good time to text. It never is a good time to text and drive. But this is really when you focus. Turn on your headlights so you can be seen because it's not as sunny. We make all of these things. Now, there are still tragedies in wet weather. We accept them. We accept those, the risk, because we're free Americans and we should be able to travel during inclement weather. But if you use the COVID-19 response and take it out logically to its extension, then I don't think we can be trusted to be driving down wet roads. I demand an immediate park-in-place order every time the rain comes through. Bit fired up today. I'm going to get into something a little off topic. I'm usually talking about things like diabetes and GMOs and vitamin D and stuff, and I may get to some of that today too, but I wanted to talk to you about death because it seems we're very interested in our society right now to avoid dying, right? Masks, hand washing, self-quarantines, dictated quarantines, mandated isolation, all in the idea that we don't want to get sick and die. Not many people are dying of coronavirus these days, thank God. But this is the thing. So I'm going to give you some tips to help you avoid death. Because to your friends and your family and to society, and the cause of death doesn't matter. We're going to miss our loved ones who pass away. So the cause of death, if it's, you know, whether it's COVID or car accident, it doesn't matter. When somebody dies, it's a tragic event for the friends and family and those that love those people, right? So I thought maybe there's some other actions you can take to avoid death. You know, most of the show is about improving your life, but it just seems kind of topical right now. And I ran across some stuff, kind of took me down a road. I ran across this clip I'm about to play for you in just a second. This is a biggie. I may save lives here on the show. I don't know how many times I've done content on this show where I think, wow, you know, I may save a life today. If you listen to this segment for an hour and you improve your health, I'll save thousands of lives, and then you can go educate your children and educate other people. Now, I have a small voice here. Central Mississippi, there's national people who can really have a profound effect, but the case is real. I've heard from listeners who have made changes to their nutrition, sometimes because of my show, and sometimes they just let me know that they did the same things I did and moved to an organic diet and drastically improved their health long before I came around. And they know the power of this too. But it can save lives. But I'm really about to save lives now. I want you to listen to this clip about why you shouldn't go to the hospital in July. Now, this has nothing to do with COVID. This is not just July 2020. You know, you don't want to be in there with a bunch of COVID patients and you may get sick and, you know, all that stuff. It's not this. It's every July of every single year. You don't want to go to the hospital in July. I was stunned by this. This is a medical professional explaining to you kind of, she backs into this point, and God love the person interviewing her that made her repeat this and clarify her statement, because it was a jaw dropper when I first heard it. I was so glad there was a follow-up question. Here is why you don't want to go to the hospital in July.
Hospitals on healthcare workers, paramedics and doctors and nurses. It's really taking a toll on the nation. And the
now, again, this is another, you know, coronavirus story. This is all about the coronavirus and how it's taking a toll on our healthcare system. So that's the context of this. The main point of this clip just kind of slipped out.
Hospitals on healthcare workers, paramedics and doctors and nurses. It's really taking a toll on the nation and the healthcare system in general, and especially, you know, with the increased number of hospitalizations and cases, it puts a strain during July, which is a very important time of the year, because we tend to see more deaths in the month of July because of the new healthcare professionals that are entering the residency program. So we've got a lot to do. It comes down to simple
measures.
Wait
a minute. Wear your mask. Stop. Wait. You're about to make something really important point about masks. But what did you tell me? You just said that in the month of July, you see death rates increase because you've got new students or medical, you know, professionals coming online.
Sure. July is when July is typically the month where we have people who doctors, they graduate medical school and they enter residency. So sometimes we tend to see increase in the rates of medical errors and deaths. That's just something that, you know, is well known in the medical field. So that just goes to show you, we have the burden of this virus with new doctors on board. Of course, they're always being supervised by professional, well-trained doctors. But just something to keep in mind is simple measures of protecting yourself so you don't have to enter the hospital, not only because it's July, but we also have another holiday that we're approaching, 4th of July next week. We don't want to see a remake of increasing the number of cases like we did with Memorial Day.
Okay. How about that? Did you know that one? You know, we put a warning on the side of a pack of cigarettes that says, hey, these things aren't good for you. If you start smoking now, you could get addicted, and it's a good possibility in the next 20 to 50 years, you may die from this. Kind of seems like maybe they need a warning on the side of a hospital that says, hey, you know, kind of like the decals that are on driver's ed cars. Caution, student driver. Should they not have something that says, hey, if you're planning a procedure, we need to get a little practice in. Maybe don't come in July. I don't mean to laugh. And I, you know, I mean, it makes some common sense. They are brand new doctors. But when she says it is well known within the medical community that more people die in the hospitals because of July, because we got all the rookies on the floor. Wow. Well, that took me down a bit of a rabbit hole on some of the research I'm about to give you in just a second when I come back from this break. Because, again, this show is usually about improving your health on a daily basis. And I tell you, you know, you can start today. I've given you tips for the last several years, every single Wednesday for an hour. You can get the podcast. You can get my show notes for those weeks. You can do the research yourself on things like vitamin D and organic foods. You can start feeling better this afternoon, if you really want to. But today's show is about avoiding death, and it's not about COVID. It has really nothing to do with COVID. These are long-standing causes of death that I think may shock a few people. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
All night with the king.
Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
All right, we spend a lot of time on this show talking about how to improve your quality of life day to day. We did a show a couple weeks ago about, you know, IBS, irritable bowel syndrome. This affects a lot of people. You can fix it. I fixed mine. Today we're talking a little bit about death. We look at a lot of times in health topics about the leading causes of death. The leading causes of death in this country are heart disease and cancer. Those are the top two. I'm about to hit you with number three. And it may surprise a lot of people. And then I'm going to give you a couple others that are big ways. So today I'm trying to save some lives out there. And the thing is that when you look at heart disease and cancer, your nutrition and your lifestyle plays a part in whether or not you get a cancer. I'm going to say it again for probably seriously. I may use the word literally. I may have said this literally 100 times on this show over the years. They've done studies that show that if women have proper vitamin D levels, they reduce their risk of breast cancer by 80%. I think that should be on billboards and on every doctor's office wall, waiting room in the country. It's so shocking. This is a peer-reviewed scientific study, and vitamin D costs about $5 a month to get it in supplement form, or you can walk outside for 20 minutes a day and get it for free. Seems like that's something they would want to talk about, but for some reason, they don't. So I keep talking about it. With COVID, we've seen 131,000 deaths as of right now. Now, I take great exception to these numbers because I've played clip after clip of health authorities around the country saying, look, if you're in a car accident and you're brought in on the life chopper at the brink of death, and we put you in a medically induced coma, but you're probably not going to make it. If we test you and you've got COVID, it's considered a COVID death. I guess they pretend the car accident didn't happen, or maybe they think COVID actually causes car accidents now. I don't know. But anyway, if we're going to use the numbers that they're giving us right now, we got around 131,000 deaths from COVID. Now, what I want to remind everybody, I'm trying very hard to put this all in context for you so you kind of understand some of the different dangers in this world so you can plan accordingly. And getting your health in order is important for not only avoiding the heart disease and cancer, the top two, but also this third cause of death in this country that I'm going to get to. But this is 131,000 COVID deaths in one single year, right? We haven't had COVID before. We didn't lose 131,000 in 2019, in 2018, 2016, you know, all these years. But there are certain numbers that every year, year in and year out, they happen, and here's one of them. Let me also say, I'm really qualifying this. Am I teasing it too far? I don't have any problem with doctors. God love these nurses that show up and do some of, I'll be honest with you, just some of the most disgusting stuff in the world. And they do it with compassion and a lot of them with a smile on their face and a caring attitude. I couldn't do that. I'm not wired that way. I have great admiration for people who take care of sick people. And I know this sounds like kind of like a race thing. You know, when somebody accuses you of being racist, you say, well, hey, some of my best friends are black. Well, some of my best friends are doctors. And I love them. And I know their heart. I've known them for 40 years. And they want to help people and all that. It's the system that I have a problem with, okay? There's a lot of organizations, teachers, you know, it's a lot of times it's administrators and bureaucracies and things like that that really hamstring good teachers and don't let them shine and really have the impact on children. And we recognize that. It's not every teacher is bad. When you have failing schools, it doesn't mean every teacher that showed up to work there is all just terrible. It's just they're trapped in a system that doesn't work. I believe doctors, and a lot of doctors have backed me up on this. They have a system that is a very profitable system for the people at the top of this thing running the show, and they've learned a pharmacological model, and they just don't focus on nutrition. I think that's a failing of the medical system, but I'm not here to indict all doctors. This is not a personal thing with me. It's a systemic thing with me. So here we go. First two causes of death in this country, heart disease and cancer. Do you know what the third leading cause of death is? And again, remember as I give you these numbers, how many people have died from COVID and we're losing our ever-loving minds. According to a recent study by John Hopkins, more than 250,000 people in the United States die every year because of medical mistakes, making it the third leading cause of death after heart disease and cancer. Other studies report much higher figures, claiming the number of deaths from medical error to be as high as 440,000. That's 440,000 human beings every year, every single year, medical errors. The reason for the discrepancy is that physicians, funeral directors, coroners, and medical examiners rarely note on death certificates the human errors and system failures involved. Yet death certificates are what the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention rely on to post statistics for deaths nationwide. The authors of the Johns Hopkins study, led by Dr. Martin McCary of the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine, have appealed to the CDC to change the way in which it collects data from death certificates. To date, no changes have been made. So the CDC probably doesn't want us to understand exactly how many deaths are attributable to medical mistakes. You just heard that healthcare professional in the clip I played in the first segment saying, don't go to the hospital in July. Well, she didn't say it that way. She said, July is a particularly bad month. It's well known within the medical community that more people die in the hospital in July because that's when all the new docs come in. 440,000 people. Let's just use the 250,000 people. Now, I got to give the props to where it belongs. Dr. Joel Wallach, he does the Youngevity brand of supplements, and you can hear some of the Youngevity people on Kim Wade's show from time to time. They've got some good quality supplements themselves. He said, you know, if airplanes were dropping out of the sky so much that 250,000 people every single year were dying from plane crashes, we would want an investigation. We would really demand better safety from our planes, wouldn't we? Now, again, this is not 250,000 people a year that go to a hospital and leave without breath. That's to be expected. If you're going to the hospital, a lot of times you go for something serious, you may not survive. This is 250,000 deaths per year. That's the conservative figure to medical mistakes. Now, would you like to know what the fourth leading cause of death every year is in this country? So we got number one, heart disease. Number two, cancer. And again, if you start getting your nutrition in, you will dramatically reduce. For the vast majority of you, I'm no scientist, no biologist, no oncologist, but I do know a healthy immune system and living a good life and having good nutrition and probably keeping pesticides and herbicides out of your diet and these kinds of things will reduce your chance of cancer, the same way that not smoking reduces your chance of cancer. Some people who've never smoked a day in their life get lung cancer. A lot of times I hear, well, we don't know why, and it is incredibly sad. So bad things do happen, and sometimes things go out of our control, but I mean, come on, nutrition matters. So you got number one, heart disease. Number two, cancer. Number three, medical mistakes. Number four, estimates dating back nearly two decades put the number at 100,000 or more deaths annually, which includes a study published in the Journal of American Medical Association in 1998 that projected 106,000 deaths. Do you know what these deaths are from? Prescription medications. A more recent analysis estimates 128,000 Americans die each year as a result of taking medications, as prescribed, or nearly five times the number of people killed by overdosing on prescription painkillers and heroin. This is not people out taking off-label drugs, having pill parties, partying, getting hooked on opioids. No, this is 128,000 Americans die each year as a result of taking medications as prescribed. Quote, by far the greatest number of prescription drug-related hospitalizations and deaths occur from drugs that are prescribed properly by physicians and taken as directed, said Donald Light, a medical and economic sociologist and lead author of a 2013 paper that detailed the estimate entitled, quote, Institutional Corruption of Pharmaceuticals and the Myth of Safe and Effective Drugs, unquote. This paper says about 2,460 people per week are estimated to die from drugs that were properly prescribed, and that's based on detailed chart reviews of hospitalized patients, says Light, who's a professor of comparative health policy at Rowan University School of Osteopathic Medicine in Stratford, New Jersey. The estimate, which didn't include those who died as a result of prescription errors, overdose, and self-medication, would make taking properly prescribed drugs the fourth leading cause of death in the United States. So you hear what I'm saying here, and really the impetus of this show is not only if you get your nutrition in line, you feel better day to day. Not only do you look better day to day, not only are you more comfortable day to day, but you also avoid things like the first four causes that I've just given you of death, which are heart disease, cancer, medical errors, and then prescription drugs. Now, you may say that the first two are, you know, kind of random things that happen in nature, but the last two are not, and they're two of the top four. They're 50% of the top four. 128,000 Americans died from properly prescribed prescription medications. I'm not done. This is a story from U.S. News and World Report. As always, you can get, if you want to check any of my sourcing on any of this stuff, you can always email me, MikeMadison@WYAB.com, and I will send you my health show notes. I do that pretty much every week. I actually had a listener contact me this week, and he wanted, I have a file. I've talked about this before. I don't have a website for the Mike Madison Show. I have my podcast page. But I have a running file, like a Word file, that I just keep, when I run across a story I think is interesting, I highlight the link, I copy it, I paste it onto a thing, and then I go and I do my research before these shows. That file is 66 pages of nothing but links, source material, to peer-reviewed papers, to articles in health things, to natural health doctors, to other MDs. It's just a ton of, and he wanted the whole thing. To his great credit, I said, well, here you go. 66 pages of links. That should keep you busy for the rest of 2020. But I tell you right now, if he looks at it and dives into the research, 2021 may be the healthiest year he's ever had. Anyway, when we come back, I'm not done. I'm not done with these things. There's other causes of death that are all, and again, this is about, you don't want to be in the hospital. You don't want to be on prescription medications. But for too many Americans, it's just this, it's this fate. That's just what we do. All my friends take two or three drugs. I'm of the age, I'm going to take two or three drugs. I said it myself when I was 32, 33 years old. I was having all these little nagging health problems. I went, oh man, this really sucks getting older. I was 32, 33. Stomach always hurt, head always hurt, always got bronchitis and strep and the flu and all this stuff. I said, oh man, this really stinks getting older. And then I tightened up my nutrition and I'm healthier now than I was 20 years ago. Maybe 30 years ago. I don't know. Anyway, we're trying to avoid the medications, avoid the hospitalizations, avoid the heart disease, avoid the cancer. That's the theme of this show. I'll be right back.
You know that friend that's eating healthy, or as they put it, eating clean? They're overly concerned with eating habits, especially yours. They cite the latest health studies, the ones that change weekly. Eggs are good, no bad. No, wait, eggs are good. Instead, maybe you should listen to what your own body is saying about your health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Now I'm calling all citizens from all over the world. This is Captain America calling. I bailed you out when you were down on your knees. So will you catch me now? I'm falling.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, Hump Day Health, natural health news you can use. We're taking a look at the causes of death, and I'm just, you know, this is just, I should be more motivation to want to stay off prescription medications. Properly prescribed medications are the fourth leading cause of death in this country. Now, there's life-saving medicines. I'm going to get to that in just a second. I don't cast just a, you know, just a, some kind of a, you know, an overarching idea that, oh, we need to get rid of every pharmaceutical in the country. That's not my take at all. But your goal should be to optimize your health. God gave you this incredible machine, and I may have time to get to some more natural things that actually help it. But I just want to go circle back just a little bit and make sure I'm doing this show in context so you understand my point. We have shut down the country and gone into complete panic mode over COVID, which has supposedly caused 131,000 deaths. I've just read to you that between the third and fourth leading cause of death in this country, which is medical errors, from 250,000 to 440,000 people per year, not a one-off, every year, and pharmaceuticals properly prescribed, properly taken, not abused, regular medications kill 128,000 people, almost as many as COVID. This is each and every year. Can you imagine if the news opened up every single day with a count of how many medical error deaths and proper prescription deaths occurred that day? Because, I mean, I'm going to have to use my public school math, but, you know, medical errors are somewhere between 250,000 and 440. Let's be conservative and call it 300,000 a year. You tack on the prescription drugs killing 128,000 people. Let me do it quick. Carry the one. You know, it's 428,000 people per year die from these two avoidable mistakes. Can you imagine the news media every single day saying, oh, my gosh, we just lost another 1,200 people today to medical errors and properly prescribed prescription drugs? But they don't do that, do they? They're losing their mind over 131,000 people. But 428,000 people every single year, year in, year out, and there's just crickets? This story in U.S. News goes on because it's not only, you know, when we're talking about COVID, what are we talking about? What are we losing our minds over right now? It's not even the deaths as much right now because the death rate is down like 92%. Good news, great news for all of us, but you still could get hospitalized, right? They got to reclose a lot of our society. They've got to shut down businesses. They're canceling events, sporting seasons. The kids can't go back to school in the fall. Why? Because we can't overwhelm our hospitals, right? Listen to this. This is going back into the story from U.S. News about prescription drugs. It said, for those taking them, prescription drugs can provide myriad of benefits, from treating infections that could be potentially life-threatening to preventing stroke to helping manage a chronic condition. And frequently, any side effects experienced are relatively minor. However, depending on the analysis, adverse drug reactions are estimated to result in approximately 1.5 to 2.7 million hospitalizations each year. Well, golly gee willikers, we don't want to overwhelm our hospital system, do we? Maybe we should take a look at the 1.5 to 2.7 million hospitalizations for adverse drug reactions from properly prescribed medications. Now, this goes on to say, and look, don't get off any medications because of what are you hearing now. I'm just giving you the facts, not advising anybody on any health. Some people are benefiting from some medications. I would encourage you to look at some natural things to help supplement your health and maybe wean yourself off things. But that's between you, your doctor, and your research. This story goes on. And though following a doctor's orders and medication labeling instructions can reduce harms associated with taking prescription drugs, simply taking prescribed drugs as directed can expose a person to significant risk. This is not Mike Madison. These are the experts weighing in a U.S. News and World Report article. Quote, most people who are harmed by prescription drugs are taking the drugs as prescribed, says Dr. Michael Carone, director of the Health Research Group at the consumer watchdog Public Citizen. Even the best projections of medication-related death and injury are likely underestimates of the harm inflicted, he says, since often these adverse events may be errantly attributed to another cause, like a patient's underlying condition. And one more thing when it comes to prescription drugs, too. This is just another kind of a public service announcement. It's kind of like, this kind of dovetails on the beginning of the show where that medical professional comes out and says, hey, everybody knows more people die in the hospital in July when the new residents are making rounds. And I don't mean to pick on new residents. I mean, I can't imagine the intimidation factor of going from a school setting surrounded by professors and a group setting to suddenly you're on the floor dealing with life or death. I guess there's a reason they call it a medical practice. But on top of them saying that July is a problem for people dying, it also turns out that there is kind of a rookie learning curve when it comes to prescription medications that I think people should be aware of. Listen to this. For all the hoopla that may surround certain new drugs, it's also during the time shortly after drugs are approved when safety issues often become apparent. Quote, we have what's called a 7-year drug rule, Carone. This is the same guy, the same doctor, that did the research on adverse reactions to pharmaceuticals. Within the first 7 years after a drug is approved, it's common for safety warnings, including the FDA's strongest, the black box warning, to come to light, Caron says. And it's within the same period, he adds, that drugs are often withdrawn from the market because of serious safety concerns. Now, I got to tell you, I'm just, some Joe Blow out here. Isn't our assumption out here in the general public that these things go through rigorous testing with the FDA? They wouldn't put anything on the market that isn't safe. It sounds to me like new drugs go through essentially a 7-year human trial. And we pay for it. You don't get paid to be a test subject. You actually line up based on a television commercial and get the latest and greatest new drug out there. But apparently, as this researcher is saying, it takes 7 years to figure out if it's really even safe. Quote, we advise people not to take the drug for 7 years after approval, he says, with exceptions only for actual breakthrough drugs, which Caron contends are few and far between. Those that offer a unique breakthrough treatment compared to what's already on the market, like those that treat orphan diseases, would be one such example. But even in those instances, because of the limited safety information available, he recommends proceeding with caution. Wonder why mainstream media doesn't report on any of these things. Could it be that 80% of their advertising revenue comes from the pharmaceutical companies, or is it just an oversight? Again, they seem to be pretty worked up about 131,000 coronavirus deaths. I believe that number is inflated based on research that I've brought to the show over the past 6 weeks. But regardless, let's use their number. They've lost their mind over 131. They seem to be ignoring the 400,000 to 500,000 deaths per year from these other causes I've just given you and the 1.5 to 2.7 million hospitalizations based on prescription drugs. Is it a coincidence that their major advertisers of the news networks are prescription drugs? I'm sure it is. Just a coincidence. Anyway, I thought I would bring this stuff to you because it seems like we're all pretty hip and into. It seems very cool right now to try to avoid death. Well, I've just given you a way, just kind of giving you a heads up on some of the things you need to look for. I believe nutrition can address the first two, heart disease and cancer. But if you won't get your nutrition in check and you suffer from one of the first two, it leads to the third and fourth cause. You understand what I'm saying? Once you're hospitalized or put on prescription medication, that's when the real risk starts, apparently, looking at these numbers in a lot of cases. Now, I will say, these numbers are probably small in the grand scheme of how many people take prescription medication. A lot of people take them. Maybe they don't have any negative effects whatsoever, maybe minor little side effects. I'm not here saying every pill that's put out there is in any way, shape, or form bad for you, but I am saying it's a risk, and if you get your nutrition in line, you don't need to take that risk. I don't want to bat down any symptoms for a disease. I'd rather just not have the disease. And that's what this is about. I mean, there are just have got to be, I would probably say, over a billion prescriptions a year in this country? And if you've only got 1.5 to 2.7 hospitalizations as a percentage, that's very small. I'm not trying to paint a picture that, you know, prescription drugs, and I can't imagine how many people are hospitalized. If they lose 250,000 people to medical mistakes, I don't know. They've got millions and millions and millions of people filtering through hospitals every single year. The percentage is probably still relatively small. Yet, it is still the third leading cause of death. So it's not tiny. It's not microscopic when it comes to the mortality of the American citizen. Anyway, I thought it was a good time for a teachable moment while we're all kind of freaked out about dying and making sure we don't have too many hospitalizations. I'll be right back. Mike Madison here. Have you heard about Lee Garland's latest offer? You know, he's the real estate agent with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance who will guarantee the sale of your home. Well, he's up the ante once again, and not only will he guarantee the sale, but he wants the opportunity to offer you cash before you ever even place it on the market. That's right. Lee Garland with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance is and represents cash buyers who are willing to buy your home as is today. Can you imagine not having to jump through a bunch of hoops, not having to scramble around to meet the buyer's needs, and not having to do repairs for some crazy home inspection? If so, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424 for more details on his cash offer and or guaranteed sale. Again, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130, 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424. All right, final segment today on the Mike Madison Show, Hump Day Health segment here on 103.9 WYAB every Wednesday from 10 to 11 o'clock. I've done a lot of piling on in the medical system today. Look, I'm not thrilled with it. I'm not even talking today. I mean, I focused on these specific things, but, you know, just the fact the explosion of chronic diseases in our country, we're just not a healthy society, and I think the medical community is slow to wake up to nutrition side of it because I've seen so many success stories and lived one myself around nutrition. They won't mention vitamin D and good sleep and good nutrition during this COVID outbreak. I mean, I don't know how bankrupt you can get as a system at the top if you won't try to tell people, arm them with something to empower them to boost their immune system. It is doable. It's very frustrating. But look, there are so many good doctors and nurses out there that are trying to do right by them. And I talked to some of them, and, you know, when I express this frustration, particularly on nutrition, there's so many doctors I run into, and I believe them. You know what they say? They say, I try with my patients. You know, because I'm going after prescription drugs a lot on this show, and particularly pretty hardcore today. Look, if you won't take the steps to address the underlying condition, what you need to do to let your body heal itself by giving it the raw materials it needs, the vitamins and nutrients and minerals and everything it needs to repair. If you won't do that, then pharmaceuticals are probably keeping you alive and functioning day to day. There certainly is a value to that. I implore people to go to the root cause of the problem. Treat yourself, let you give your body a break, give it what it needs to repair. But I talk to doctors all the time, and they say, I know. We just cannot get patients to change their lifestyle at all. Now, I think it's because people have come to just rely on this pill. It's so much easier. Don't pay any attention to any of the chemicals I'm ingesting or my kid's ingesting or anything, and I'll slap myself on some diabetes medication, I'll slap my kid on some ADHD stuff, and we'll go on. That's so much easier than having to pay attention to what you eat and stop your child from eating garbage. I know it's easier. I just think that the trade-off for that is pretty catastrophic for us across the spectrum, and I've just read off to you 500,000 people a year dying from that approach, needlessly, not even from the diseases themselves. Anyway, I'll finish up with an MD. I'm running short on time, but there was just a guy, his name is Zach Bush. He was doing some cancer research, and he's somebody who kind of had an epiphany moment himself on, you know, that we've gone into this over-medicalized, it's a pill for every ill in the society. And he realized while he's studying cancer, it just doesn't work.
The mentality of the science community, including myself at that time, was that we are here to stamp out disease. But the idea of health and healing is remote and feels new agey or somehow like, you know, fake science. And so that's an extraordinary mistake we made in medical education over the last 100 years, was to forget the opportunity to create such resilient health that we would be resistant to disease. Instead, we focused all of our trillions of dollars of research and development and trillions of hours of manpower, research and ingenuity and intuition on disease management instead of health. And so the result is what you see around you. And so the reason the dialogue looks like it is in the government and the WHO and the CDC and, you know, the UK system there, you guys are part of this big machine of fear that we created as physicians as well. And so as physicians and scientists, we have created the fight against cancer and the, you know, fear of bacterial infections, the fear of viral infections, when in fact, none of that's really underpinned by the current science. Science has radically changed in the last 20 years, and it hasn't trickled down into the mindset of the physicians, the scientists, and especially the clinicians yet.
Yeah, it hadn't trickled down yet. Like he says, trillions of dollars and trillions of hours spent on all of these pharmacological things, and the idea of nutrition and letting the body actually heal itself or promoting healing from within, that just hasn't trickled down to the people yet. I'm here. I'm turning the faucet on. I'm trying to trickle it down.
I think the power has definitely been taken away from the individual to pursue health. And so with the marbled halls and the white coats and the stethoscopes and all the fancy trappings of MRI machines and CT scans and billions of dollars of laboratories, we give the impression that we know what the hell is going on. And the reality is we have no clue, because we have been going down this wrong avenue of education and believing that the human system is this isolated, system of that has to fight off disease. And most importantly, it needs an immune system to kill all microorganisms around it so that it doesn't die, so we don't get an infection. That is the mentality that is out there, both in the physician, the scientist, and the public still. And yet we know as of 30 years ago that, oh my gosh, a human can't survive unless the microorganisms within it are thriving in massive biodiversity. And in the last 15 years, it's been mind-blowing to realize that's not isolated to our gut. In fact, we have bacteria, fungi, viruses teeming in every single organ of our body to produce health. And in fact, when we start to slip into disease, the microbiome goes into an adaptation stress response system to try to recover our health.
Yeah, and it is truly fascinating. I'm running out of time. I actually have some of this. I know one of the things people might say in some pushback to the stuff I've done on this show or some of this exception I have to a pharmacological model or a medical system is people say, well, Mike, life expectancies have gone up. There's other reasons for that. Sanitation is a huge reason that we stamped out some diseases. Refrigeration is a huge reason we've stamped out a lot of foodborne illnesses. Real quick, I saw an ad that Lysol's got something approved now to fight COVID. And I had time. I don't have time to do it. I'll probably do it next week. This idea of living in this hyper-sterilized society is kind of what that Dr. Zach Bush was just talking about. We're trying to sterilize our environment, not understanding that our body has been groomed to coexist with virus and bacteria. Some of them are actually beneficial to us. Some of them we can't do without. And we are now trying to insulate ourselves and put ourselves in a sterile bubble and spray our entire homes down. And that comes with its own consequences, too. I'll probably revisit that a little bit more next week. But that's all the time that I've got today. I appreciate you joining me. Stay tuned for Doc Livingston. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.